Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope.
We can't recover even one of those 25,000 days that we are allotted. That day can come and go, and I can't go back and retrieve it. But I can look at today and tomorrow and the next day and the day ahead, and I can say today, God, I want to do with the days you've given me, whatever they are, ever how long they are, I want to be faithful. We'll look at finance. We did that last week. We'll touch on finance all along the way because it is part of stewardship. We said we're going to look at time. Time is a part of stewardship. That's today's teaching. I hope you're ready for it. Number three, we said we're going to talk about relationships. That's a big one. Relationships. We're going to talk about ministry. All of these are part of a life of stewardship. I believe God wants us to be good stewards in this life. We get one. Well, amen. I say we get one. We shouldn't waste it. We need to do something for it with it. When I think, and I made this statement last week, it's a little bit of a recap. When I think of the phrase lottery, I never think of stewardship. I think of chance, wishful thinking, and an easy way out. I know. Don't get offended at me if I'm stepping on your toes. But I want you to understand this morning that God wants us to be good stewards. And that's one of the primary areas that we often think about right up front. And I'll probably say that every single week because I'm trying to set a tone for this series, what stewardship is. It's not just wishful thinking. Well, amen. It takes planning. It takes being intentional. It takes a vision. I like what Sue said, looking at the end. The last funeral that I was able to preach for someone who I love dearly, they had written their own obituary. And I told my wife, I said, I need to start on that now. Because at the rate I'm going, she's going to kill me. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. If Georgia would have lost last night, she probably would have tore that house apart. Stewardship. Let's read. Matthew chapter 25, verse 23 said, his master replied, everybody say, well done. Good and, everybody say faithful. Faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Faithfulness. Stewardship begins when we understand that God requires us to be faithful. You will never fully walk in a life of good stewardship if you do not learn the importance of being faithful. There's a lot of things God requires us to be faithful to. We are to be faithful to our spouse. Oh, my goodness, somebody should have said amen. Amen. I cannot tell you over the past 22 years of pastoring, David, how many times people have sat in our office and you would have some guy talk about, well, I didn't really cheat on her because I was just talking with her. Oh, let me preach a while. Talking is still cheating. Well, amen. We were just talking. No. Be faithful. There are many things in life that we play around with. One of them is the use of our time. Now, you may sit there this morning and say, Pastor, what does time have to do with anything? I don't see this, but bear with me this morning. I believe the Scripture shows us that how we handle our time in life is very important to God. These are those types of series and teachings that we need to help us have foundational pieces in our life where we have stronger marriages. Stronger lives, stronger relationships with God. You manage your time well, you'll have a stronger relationship with God. You abuse your time, you'll have a weak relationship with God because you'll allow everything else to take precedence over the number one thing in your life. If your time management is not well, you will allow your marriage to suffer. You say, that's just a practical thing. But you know what? Many things are practical. The Bible said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's these little things in our life. Some of you that are younger and somewhat newlywed, you need to understand that in your young marriage, there's things you need to line up now for your marriage to go long term. I guess we all heard by Facebook yesterday that we're going to have a new baby in the church. Yeah, Chelsea and Ben, y'all give them a hand. Isn't that awesome? grandparents, great-grandparents, and I'm just going to be like an adoptive grandpa, I told them. Celia and I have this kind of weird thing. I said, don't think we're weird, but we love babies. We love people when they're pregnant. Man, it's just such a beautiful thing. I believe in life. And I think it is so precious when a little mom is carrying her baby. They should be loved and protected and cared for. It's a beautiful thing. Amen. There are many things in life that we play around with. One of them is the use of our time. The average human lives, you ready for this? 25,000 days. Your life. The average human in the world today lived for 25,000 days. I can't do my math fast enough, but I believe when I looked it up, that was around 75 years of age. Why am I telling you that? Because I want to bring some reality into us. I'm 43. But in reality, though I am young, what will I do with the rest of my days? See, the reality is I can't go back. None of us can go back and pick up a day. Oh, that's good preaching, young people. Listen to me. Procrastination. When the Lord prompts you to call someone or pray for someone. Oh, amen. When the Lord calls on you to be a witness in your school, to stand up for your faith. When the Lord calls on you to witness to your neighbor, to invite someone to a Bible study, to give them a call and check on them, but you choose not to do it out of fear. We can't recover even one of those 25,000 days that we are allotted. That day can come and go, and I can't go back and retrieve it. But I can look at today and tomorrow and the next day and the day ahead, and I can say today, God, I want to do with the days You've given me, whatever they are, ever how long they are. I want to be faithful. I want to be a good steward. I'm thankful that God brought us to Mountain Gap. I'm thankful for our ministry here. I'm thankful for the joy that we get to share in. I'm thankful for all of those things. But if I do not consider the days that are ahead of me, I said to someone in a recent conversation, I said, I believe that I'll spend my life pastoring this church. And you say, well, you don't know that. No, I don't know that. God could move me if He so chooses. But I treat it as though. And that's what sometimes people don't understand. Not all pastors do, but I do. I treat it as if I will spend the rest of my life there because I don't know what God has for the next day and the next day and the next day. But what I do know is this, that while every day is in front of me, I want to honor Him with my life, giving it as if it's my last investment. Make a difference. Romans 13, verse 11 through 12. And do this. Understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. Elbow your neighbor gently, not too hard. Tell him, wake up. Get out of your slumber. We have an ant problem at our house. I don't know what it is. This morning I went to get in the shower and the ceiling above the shower was covered with these little black ants. I'm not sure, Johnny, where they're even coming from. You say, why do you tell them that? Well, the Bible talks to us about how the ants are not lazy. Neely Salito texted me the other day and she said, we have a small problem. It drives me nuts. When my wife says we've got a problem, it's usually I get anxiety. Because I think it's big. Oh, Lord, what's happening? And I should have noticed the word small problem. It was raining so much that the ants had captured their eggs, being a good steward of what they have, and had climbed the box, the pole at the mailbox, the post, and she opened the mailbox to find 1,000 ants or more all inside with their little white eggs holding on for dear life. And she said, we have a problem. And I said, what do you want me to do, kill all the ants? I don't want them in the mailbox. And I said, they're getting away from the rain. As soon as the water settles, they will not stay in your mailbox. They will leave and go back into the ground. But ants are diligent. They don't slumber. Please hear what I'm about to say. Some of us, the first time we find ourselves entering into a world of hardship or difficulty or conflict in our lives, we start to slumber. We withdraw. We take a step back. Listen to me. The watchmen on the wall aren't those that slumber. The ones that are rebuilding the gates of the city aren't those that slumber. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all letting on this morning. I believe it's time that we get out of our sleep, that we understand the present time that we are living in. I was blessed to speak to some of the men of our church at the men's breakfast Saturday morning. And by the way, if you're missing that, you are missing some good food and fellowship. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. That biscuit was awesome. What was that biscuit, Brother Ronald, I had? Tenderloin, that's right. Man, that thing was good. So big I had to cut it up with a knife. Y'all getting hungry yet? All right, let's keep going. And do this, understanding the present time. Do you? Do we look at the news and look at the world and look at our circumstances and just live in a life of frustration? Or do we seize the moment and understand through prayer? Hear what I'm about to say. When we're using our time wisely, we can begin to understand the present time we're living in. For many of us, we just vent all the time. We vent all the time. Listen, I've been guilty of doing the same. But do we really prayerfully understand the time and the season that we are living in? The Bible said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits." Oh, come on, somebody. And principality. It is not a battle against mankind, but it's a battle against the demonic forces that seek to destroy. And if we're not in prayer and not in the Word, we can't fight the fight, right? We'll respond like the world responds because we won't understand the time we're living in. I told those men at the men's fellowship, I said, I don't know that I've ever experienced what I have felt in my life as a more dividing time in our nation. When you look at certain statistics, you find that we're almost right down the middle. When you look at simple figures such as voting Republican and Democrats, and then you've got a 37,000, this is Upson County, 1% of them were independent. But when you look at it, it's almost split straight down the middle. Divided. How do we come together? I saw someone that I know to be a Christian. I know to be spirit-filled. But I also know what they voted for and how they voted, and it troubles me in my spirit. But yet I want to honor my sister and love her. Not my physical sister. I want to love her too. Someone from another town. But I do struggle with that. Please hear my heart. I have a hard time as a believer and a follower of Christ understanding how we vote for people in positions and responsibilities that do not support biblical standard. I struggle with that. How? I care not what your economic plan is. I care not how intelligent you are when it comes to economics. Here's why. Listen to me. I want to know first, do you stand on the principles of faith? Do you stand for the unborn child in the world that we live in today? Do you hold to the value of a traditional and biblical marriage? Listen to what I'm saying. The foundation of the church is on the foundation of the marriage. Satan tries to destroy the family. And if we do not stand on those principles, then we've forgotten a scripture. What do you mean? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all of these other things, he said. What do you mean? If I seek God first, if I put Him first in every aspect of my life, He'll take care of all the needs. See, I don't vote just based on somebody's ability to manage money or be a good businessman. Because if the first foundation is not right, the rest will fall. Oh my. There's a lot of ways to give this as an example, but because of the current situations we face, I find that speaking about the political situation gives us some understanding of what we're dealing with. Search your hearts. And know it is not about race. At all. At all. Or gender. At all. It's about faith. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness. And put on the armor of light. Do we know the time we're in? Put away the deeds of darkness, the Word said, and put on the armor of light. Those who are not good stewards, you know, I'm just going to live for today. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'll get to it tomorrow. Oh, listen to what I'm saying this morning. This is going to take us straight towards salvation, and you need to hear it. Don't play games with God anymore. Maybe you're here today and you don't want to hear a good old-fashioned salvation message, but let me give you one today that tells you that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for your sin, for my sin, for the sin of the world. And we may think we have tomorrow, and we may think we have the next day, and we may put our faith in the positions of men and the responsibilities of others, but listen to me. As the old saint used to say, you can't get to heaven on grandma's coattail. You've got to know God for yourself. You've got to stand for righteousness yourself. Understand the time. If you want a deeply theological message today, maybe this isn't it, but it's powerful, it's truth, it's factual, it's what we need to hear about where we are. We're in a place today where not everybody's preaching about salvation. You know how much can be fixed in your life by just knowing Jesus? Well, amen. One time, several times in my life, I've written the book, The Five Love Languages. And one of the things that the author of that book said, he remembered a day that he stood in line at a grocery store or some type of store, and he looked over in the rack, and there was a magazine there, something like, what's that lady's magazine? Not Victoria, no. The Cosmopolitan. He said he looked over and on the front of it, it said 101 ways to love your man. Who could remember 101? I'm lucky to learn the 5 ways of loving my wife, much less 101. And he said, I realized we had to simplify this. Amen. I'm here to tell you today is the simplicity of the gospel that will change our world. We don't need our churches today full of all these deeply theological teachings, and they have their places. I understand that. But if we're not preaching the basics, the foundational messages, we have not discerned the time we're living in. Because people need Jesus. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Jesus, in all his infinite wisdom, understands the frailness of time and the importance of seizing the moment at hand to do the will of his Father. Can I tell you something? We may preach this during the Christmas season, but Jesus entered the world at the perfect time. It was not by chance. He knew exactly, God the Father did, when his Son was to enter. It was by perfect timing. Why do I say that to you today? Because God knows right where you are right now. He knows what you have encountered. He knows what you are dealing with. He knew you would be here today, sitting where and with whom you are sitting with. He knows. Hearing this message today is by the perfect timing of God. So do not take it for granted. Often when I'm worshiping, I think to myself, Brother John, what would I say if I was physically standing before, if Jesus himself just appeared right in front of me? What would I say to him? That's how I desire to worship. Because he knows I'm here. He knows our hearts. Matthew 25, verse 13, going back a little bit. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. One day, God, I'll give it all to you. I pray today that that's not your prayer before you leave here. One day, I'll trust you with my marriage. One day, I'll trust you with my finances. God, one day, I'll trust you with my life. Some Sunday mornings, I look out over this congregation and I think about the dream I had the night before the bishop called me. There's only a way that I could paint you a portrait. And how that next morning that dream flashed through my mind and I laughed over the phone and the bishop said, "What is it?" I said, "If you only know what I dreamed, if you only knew what I dreamed last night." I'd never entered inside the sanctuary, but in a dream I saw myself walking down this center aisle. I'd never been inside this place before. I'd passed Mountain Gap Church, going up to youth camps, taking children over the years, and remembered and knew Ryan all the way back when the church was first being built, and Ted Cootie when the church was down at the old location. I remember nights that Selena and I and Ted and Tammy and other leaders back then, Bishop Tim was pastoring at Empire, and we sat up to 3 and 4 in the morning running our mouths at camp meeting, telling stories about church members. Well, y'all know what we go to camp meeting for, don't you? Let me tell you about one I got. No, I'm kidding. I'd hear it now. I ain't never going to camp meeting again. But I think about the time, such a time as this. I truly believe in the divine appointment of God. Are you hearing my heart today? Don't you waste your time. Don't you waste one of your 25,000 days. Don't you leave this place today saying, "I got time." Because you don't know. You do not know what will happen in the next 30 minutes. When a man can walk into a place of business and shoot 12 people dead this past week. I don't care if you're Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or what you are. What I care is, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you understand the time, the day, and the hour? Over the years, it's been hard for me to even take a vacation at times and leave my ministry because though I know it doesn't all depend on me, but I feel a responsibility to not let my guard down. And I know that technically that's not letting my guard down, but it's the sense of responsibility that I feel in my heart to fight the good fight, to be there for you. But today, God wants us to understand that we each have our place and our 25,000 days allotted to us. Hear me. Don't waste it. Young people, you're going to hear what I'm about to say, and I imagine like with me, it probably goes in one ear and out the other to some degree, but I told Kylie the other day, I said, I hadn't forgotten what it's like to be 14. I was a little frustrated with her. I'll pay her for this one because it's worth saying. I was scolding her a little bit. And I said, let me tell you about me for a while. I said, you've never, oh parents, you're going to understand this. I said, you've never grew up where you were ashamed of what your parents drove to school to pick you up in. I mean, the headliner was falling down so bad in my mom's car, they had needles poked up in the top to hold it up. The muffler was hanging down, and there were no hubcaps. And when it come through the school, I would rather ride the school bus than mama pick me up in the car because I didn't want nobody to see what mama was picking me up in. I said, I remember in my bedroom, from 8 years old to 13, my stepfather called it putting in a skylight, but what I called it was a water trap because I had to put a bucket in the floor of my bedroom every time it rained. The shower fell in the bathroom because the roof leaked so bad and they couldn't repair it and fell into the tub. The roof, the ceiling. Then it molded all around it and they just left it. Yeah. I was upset. And having a good daughter at the same time, I wanted her to be reminded that life could be very different. I know you've had those conversations. You walk 10 miles in the snow barefooted. Those times that you look at them and remind them, that phone you're using, do y'all know what my first cell phone was? A Motorola bag phone. I was so proud of it, I towed that sucker right out on the Panama City Beach. I did. Slee and I went out on the beach. She was going to lay out, and I set my phone bag down. I can remember telling my mom I was at work, and she called me on it, Brother Johnny, and I said, Mom, I can't talk because it's too expensive. I'm roaming. Man, the first flip phone, that was state of the art, son. That was amazing stuff. Now we take photos and schedule. They do it all on the phone. I could preach my sermon right off my phone this morning because it's saved on my drive. Consider the time. How often are we guilty of playing around with the time that God has given us? As with our finances, we should always be good stewards of our time. I want to give you some important areas of time management this morning. I'm going to move on quickly. Number one, we need time for God. That is priority. If you do not have time set aside every day in your life for God, God is not an intruder. He's your heavenly Father. Come on, somebody. Let your wife or your child come to you and want to have a conversation with you and you shun them enough, they'll quit coming. Don't turn him away. We need time for our family, our spouse, our children, our parents. There's a country song for those of you that aren't as holy as me and others. You'll know this. It says, you're going to miss this. You ever heard that song? It talks about all the stages of life and babies and, oh, let me hold her. Can I hold her? Bring her here. This is perfect time, and it fits my sermon well. Gives me a good reason. What she wants right now, I don't have. Say hey. Say hey. That microphone is not what she thinks it is. Do you remember when they were like this? Some of your parents have pictures of you. Maybe I should get them to bring them to church. Yeah. I mean, Marcus, we could make that happen. You were a cute baby. You probably somebody lied to you. I'm kidding. But they're only this little for a moment, and then they're gone. They're 20 years old, and they have their own. Don't waste the time. Do something with it now. Your family, your children, your spouse, work. Some of you work so many hours you have no time for God or your family. Stop it. Make changes. Well, Pastor, we'll have to live different. That's okay. Live different so you can live right. Oh, come on, somebody. Ministry. I hear it all the time. I don't have time to do ministry. I don't have time to be involved. Listen to me. We have time to be involved in what we want to be involved in. Other changes might have to be made, but if you want to be involved in some level of ministry, you can do it. I said you can do it. Think about your hobbies. Rest. This was a hard one for me. Time for rest is very important. If you don't set aside time for rest, you burn out. And you're no good to anyone. So what have we learned today as we look through the eyes of God concerning time? Number one, consider the time. That's what the Word said. If we look at time from God's perspective, it says, consider the time, both present and future. Consider it. Don't be oblivious to it. Consider it. Prioritize. Number two, God said that we should prioritize the time that we have been given for God, family, work, ministry, friends. We need to make those priorities right. If you're out of balance, get in balance today. Start with the Word. Number three, use it well. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. One man said that killing time is not murder, it's suicide. Successful people that have a dream, don't waste their time looking at what everybody else is doing. They're too busy focusing on what God has put in their heart. Keep pursuing your destiny. What has God put in your heart today? Who has God called you to be today? If you will manage your time according to the Word of God, I love those pictures. Brother James, I used to think a lot. When I was a kid, my day consisted in the summer of a BMX and a BB gun. It was the best days of my life. Mother didn't care. We could ride all day and shoot everything that moved, flew, jumped, and ran, including each other. But many of us remember those days like that when we were dreaming. And now our time is so consumed, we've forgotten our dreams. I come to you as your pastor and say, slow down. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask Karen to come if she would. I'm not going to keep you much longer. We have a big day today. My days of needing to preach for an hour and keep you to 1:30 have long since passed. But what I care about is when the Holy Spirit moves and lives are changed. That's all that matters to me. So right where you stand right now with every head bowed and every eye closed, I simply want to ask you this. When you look at the stewardship of your time, is everything in priority? Is it in the right order? Are you giving God what He should have? Is He number one? Are you postponing your walk with God, saying, one day, God? Is that phrase in your vocabulary, one day, God? One day, God, I'll serve you. One day, God, I'll give you this part of my life. One day, God, I'll trust you with everything. One day. Are you here this morning and you spend so much time working that no longer do you spend time with your spouse or your children and you need God's restoration? Maybe there's relationships in your life that have been damaged because of your lack of management and handling your time. Maybe your hobbies have taken precedence over what's most important in your life. You just like to say that you're always busy, but the reality is something has control of you that's more important than what should be important. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I struggle. I want God to help me be a better steward of my time. Some things need to change. Would you raise your hand this morning? Thank you. Thank you, all of you. You don't have to keep them up. Just say, Pastor, that's me. Would you raise that hand this morning? Who else? Thank you, sweetheart. Who else? Thank you. I told our counsel, won't you look at me before we pray? I told our counsel when I first began to interview for this church, I said, a healthy church is a thriving church. Numbers don't always depict health. I'm thankful for the numbers that follow good growth and quality and change and all those things. The first most important thing to me is that we're healthy, because if we're healthy, we have the right foundation. And every message that I've been preaching to you over these past few months has been geared toward getting us healthy and strong. I want your ministry to be successful. But you know what I want more than that? It's for your family to be. For your family to be. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, for every hand that was raised in this house. Lord, I know in the natural there was no power in the raising of a hand, but I realize that their willingness to acknowledge and be accountable and say, that's me, I'm ready for God to change this in my life. Lord, as the set head of this house, you place me here. I decree blessing over them. Father, I say let there be freedom in their areas where they've struggled to be free. And Father, let them be refocused in areas where they've been distracted. And let them get to a place of faith over fear and surrender their time. Lord, if it's just laziness, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. We speak to the lazy areas of our life, and Father, we surrender them to you and say, Lord, forgive me for being lazy. I'll put you first in every way. Now, right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I have one more question. If you're here today and you say, I've put off giving my life to the Lord completely. I've been saying another day, another time, soon, but not now. But I'm tired of wasting God's time and my time. I'm ready to give God my life completely. Would you raise your hand right now? Thank you. Who else? Who else will join this young man? Thank you. Who else? Come on, who else? This is important. Who else? Tired of wasting time. I want those two that raised their hand to come stand down front for me. And if you didn't raise your hand but you want to join them, would you do that right now? Come on. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate right now. This is important. This is important. I'm tired of playing games. God, I want to give you all. God, I want to give you all. I was 12 years old the first time I was asked to speak in church. It wasn't much of a sermon, but I did it. By my teen years, God began to open the door for me to preach. I can't tell you how many times I went to an altar, but I'm thankful for everyone. If you're here today and you say, God, I'm ready to give you everything. I'm tired of wasting time. Step out of your seat and come join these that are here. Can I have some of my leaders come and stand with these that are here, please? Please come. You say, why do you do that? Because we are a body and we minister together. There's no glory for me or any man in this room. It's all for the glory of God. God has been shaping these two young men for some time now. Getting them ready. There's not a parent in this room that wouldn't say they want their children to have the best. Start now. I want everyone here to say this prayer with me, and I want them to repeat it after me. As a church, we pray it as an act of unity with them. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God, we will be saved. So for these two men today, we pray this prayer right now, and I pray that you pray it from your heart. Say it with me now, Lord Jesus. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me. Wash me in your blood. I receive you today as my Lord, as my Savior, as my God, and as my King. And from this day forward, I choose to serve you with all of my heart. And when I fail, I'll get up again, because you'll never let me down. In Jesus' name. Come on, say it. In Jesus' name, I'm a child of the King. Come on, guys, give him a big hand this morning, would you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Love on them. Love on them. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. It's okay. Thank you. Guys, I told my wife yesterday that I felt bad that I had not prepared anything for Veterans Day. Part of that is because just too many things. We should never miss this day. Veterans, thank you. Thank you. Truth be known, we can never do enough to appreciate you the way you deserve. My mother's first husband was killed in Vietnam. I never knew him. Never was close to him. Can't say I loved him because I didn't know him. But she did. And I watched the hurt and the pain in her life from that. After her death, I began to research his life, and there was no internet when she was asking. For many years, they knew nothing. Knew nothing about his plane that went down in Okinawa, knew nothing about the KC-135 that he was crew chief on. Knew nothing about how it happened. But I was able to facilitate a photo of him being sent to the virtual memorial wall and posted online where people who can't visit the wall can see it. And I was able to get the history of that and put it into my ancestry. He still has nieces and nephews out there. And the last time I was home, my sister pulled out a stack of letters, multiple bound together, of every letter my mother and him wrote while he was stationed in Vietnam. They talked about their faith. Very patriotic person. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.